Galatians 2:20. Two different titles just thought of, brother. One, making sense of it all. Or, the four crucifixions. Jesus. It's all about you. It's all because of you. Just want to point people to you, show people you. But we're asking you, Holy Spirit, to come and do it. We're asking you to be the teacher, the illuminator, the quickener. We're asking you to breathe life. If you don't, it's just words. Thank you, Jesus. Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Four crucifixions. I've got a lot of verses to cover. I'm going to do my best to stay on track. Four crucifixions. Taking notes, Galatians 2:20, crucified with Christ. First we get crucified with Christ. If you look in Romans chapter 6, verses 2 through 8, it talks about when we are baptized after salvation. Salvation, baptism only happens for believers. That's why you can't baptize babies. You can christen babies, you can dedicate babies, you can commit them unto you. But in the Bible, there's no baby baptism. And the reason is because baptism is for believers. And the reason for that is because Jesus died on the cross for us. And when we come to a place of realizing, I needed Jesus to die for me, I can't be right with God, I can't get to heaven without Jesus. At that time that we accept Christ and he comes to live inside of us. The first act of obedience after salvation in the scripture, you'll start seeing it with Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 47, talks about then they that gladly received his word, Peter preached, they received the word, men and brethren, what shall we do? They said, repent, be baptized. They got born again. Now it's time to get baptized. Because baptism, just like we have that cattle trough over there, and when here's the water, and when you come and get in that water, without you saying a word to anybody, you're saying a word to everybody. You're saying, I am identifying with Christ. I am picturing my belief in the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. What you're saying to God in Romans chapter 6, we are buried with him in baptism, okay? And God, I want to die to my old ways. I want to die to the old man. I want to die to my old nature. I want to die to the flesh, the world, and the devil. And I want to be raised to walk a new way. I want Jesus to come live his life in me. Real simple. But so many people don't know it. I had a man text me, whatever those words are. I get all mixed up, but I know how to do them, but whatever they are. And he sent me this week, and I've been seeking to minister to this guy for 20 years. And he texted me this week, is it a sin to get rebaptized? And I said, please call me. I'd love to discuss this. So he called me. And after I shared with him, he said, I want my whole family to get baptized. We want to, got three kids, and I just want us to all do it together. And I'm like, you see, because When you have coffee and you put sugar in it, what does it do? It sweetens it. When you have a life, are you ready? And you put Jesus in it, what does it do? Now, that influence is there. You could focus on the bitterness of the coffee. You could try to just live coffee and resist the sugar. But the sugar's in there. That's why it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a whole new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the very next verse says, and all things are of God. When Christ comes in you, it's like getting a good case of the mumps. They're going to stick out on you. Okay? When you come in contact with Jesus, when Jesus comes in a life, there is an effect that happens in somebody's life. So much so that others see it. It doesn't mean, I don't want to go into what it doesn't mean. I just want to go into that for right now. Let's talk about the four crucifixions. I'm going to give you the outline. Four crucifixions, then we'll hang stuff on that. Number one, crucified with Christ. That's Galatians 2:20. And cross-references are Romans chapter 6, verses 2 through 8. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Crucified the flesh. We have crucified the flesh. That's Romans chapter 6, verses 9 through 22. Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Third crucifixion. You'll find two of them in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, the world is crucified unto me. And then it says, I am crucified unto the world. The world is crucified unto me. What does that mean? The world doesn't understand me. The world doesn't understand the way I think or see things, nor understand my choices. And because of that, they can't continue to be around me. They want to make it seem like I'm weird, I'm odd, I'm strange, something's wrong with me. Okay? Me being crucified in the world, I don't understand them. I don't understand the way they think or see things or the choices they make. I don't want to be around them. What they like, I don't like. What they hate, I love. Four crucifixions. Crucified with Christ. We crucify the flesh. The world is crucified unto me. And I'm crucified unto the world. Okay? Under Galatians 6:14, where it says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Two passages to look up. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Remember, I said, they don't understand me, the way I think, my choices. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? I am crucified unto the world. What do you mean? In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, it says this, love not the world. What does it mean to love? To love. Love. Give yourself to it, want it, desire it, place it above other things. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, now it's going to explain what he means by don't love the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world, those things, passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth, lives, remains forever. There are two different kind of lives. I don't know if you can remember before you got saved. Do you remember before you got saved? Do you remember before you met Jesus? You remember what your life was like? Do you? Hopeless. No true, meaningful friends. No permanent friends. Couldn't trust people. People hurt you. You didn't know where to go. You didn't know how to get help. You didn't know how to get comfort or peace. You didn't have hope. It felt like you were existing. What am I doing here? Where am I going? Where am I from? Why am I here? Do you remember all that? Do you? Because when you meet Jesus, it all changes. Except for one thing. It changes in that you put the sugar into the coffee. But now, what does the coffee do? Does the coffee allow, does the coffee cooperate with that sweetness? You see, we have there's two kinds of lives to live. Are you ready? There's two kinds of lives. Because when I drink coffee, I can taste the bitterness and I can taste the sweet. Which one is it you want to focus on? Because I don't like the bitterness. That's why I put the sweet in it. But when Jesus comes inside of you, I'm trying to remember I said one of the titles was Making Sense of It All. Have you ever wondered why, you know, before, have you ever thought, you know, before I was a Christian, I could just do things and it was okay, but now I feel like I'm in a battle all the time. I'm sorry, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, I think I saw all 400,000 of those hands. Okay. Making sense of it all. When Jesus comes in, what happens is, you see, before Jesus comes in, we have what's called the natural animal man. We're just like animals. Or, after Jesus comes in, now we have the spiritual man. We become alive to the things that are real. The spirit, the life. Is this body going to last? It's going to expand probably, but it's not going to last. This body's temporary. And I'm not this body. I'm inside this body. This is my temporary dwelling place. You've never seen me. Now, if you spend time with me, your spirit gets to know my spirit. But if you just look at this body, you don't know me. There's the natural animal man. There's two different kinds of lives. There's the natural animal man or there's the spiritual man. There's the flesh and there's the spirit. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 9. There is the old man and the new man. You ready? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. Colossians 3, 9 through 10. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth from now on we should not serve sin. For he that is dead, if you're crucified with Christ, you are freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Would you like to know instructions of how to live the new man? Do you want to live the old man? Do you want to go back to before you were saved?
No.
No, sir. Not me. Not me. I think I got that one nailed down. All right. So how do we live the new man? Would you like to know? Would you like to know where it's in the Bible, instructions of how to live the new man? Anybody? Is there anybody? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. No, y'all don't want it? You want me to skip on this? You want to know? Colossians chapter 3, the whole chapter. Now, if you start with those verses I gave you earlier, Colossians 3, 9 through 10, he's giving you the key. It's like a nail. And then he hangs the rest of the chapter on it. Now, there's parts before it. It's okay. Talks about setting your affections on things that are above. Where are your affections? What is it you crave? What is it you love? He says, set your affections on things that are above. Because if you set your affection on things that are below, things of this earth, drugs, pornography, self-gratification, doing what I want, when I want, don't care who's around, you're going to live the below life. You're going to live the old life. Is that what you want? No. It's not what I want. So how do we do this? Go to Colossians chapter 3. Now, thank you, Lord. I'm going to give you a... Would you like... Do I have a pill? I don't have one. I just bought these little caps for my whatever, rollers. And they're like, look like little pills. I gave my guy two of them because he's got two rollers, you know, where we roll out the non-slip from the tubs. And we needed something to hold the roller on. You know, you slip it on. Something's got to be on the end. Well, they had these little C-clips. I don't know if any of y'all know what I'm talking about, but Glenn does. And so we lost the C-clips. So I went and bought these little rubber rollers, roller caps. And they look like little pills, you know. Anyway, I was going to have one, but I forgot. Okay, what if I could give you a pill that would help you to... Just give me one. I don't need three. Here. What if I could give you a pill? And I told you, this little pill, you take it. We're just going to take one a day. I know I was a drug dealer, but that's not what I meant, Paula. Remember, Paula, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty and want to walk in newness of life. Okay, you ready? What if you could take a pill and it would make you like way advanced in God from where you are? Would you like to? Anybody want to take that pill? If there was a pill? Okay, are you ready? God told me to give you this. It's called a spiritual crash course. Would you like to accelerate in your walk with God? Okay, is your way... You see, when Jesus comes in, he's like putting sugar in the coffee. And he flavors it. He flavors your life. Let's try to make sense of it all. So we get saved... And you know, okay, so like take me. I was a drug dealer, and I get saved, and man, it was like, I just met Jesus. So like I, you know, I'm like, man, I just met Jesus. I just met Jesus. How do I get more of Jesus? I did that for an hour after I got saved. I just kept walking back and forth in my bedroom. I just met God. How do I get more of God? I just want more of God. My roommate tried to take me to the hospital. They thought I was ODing. I was going berserk. I just met God. They're like, dude, you were tripping. I'm like, I didn't even do any drugs. You know, I just met God. They're like, huh? And I'm like, dude, get out of here. And I shut the door. I just kept walking around in my bedroom. I just met God. How do I get more? Now, understand, up until this point, six different denominations had baptized me. I'd gone through confirmation class. I'd gone through catechism. I memorized all the things. I could make a passing grade on their little religious exams. And it hadn't done me a bit of good. I was still on my way to hell. I was still afraid to die. I still didn't know how to deal with life. I didn't have God living in me. I had no sugar. I was just bitter coffee. Black and bitter. You ready? Now watch. You ready? So now Jesus comes inside. What is this? I didn't know. They didn't tell me. I didn't know all this. None of you did either. You got saved, and all of a sudden it's like, man. And you walk. I walked outside the next morning, and it was like all the trees were like alive. And it was like, and the sky was so beautiful, and it's like, oh, it's His handiwork. I've been looking, I've been alive, I've been, I had my eyes open, but they never opened like this before. So an hour I'm walking around. I just met God. I just met God. How do I get more God? I got to get more God. How do I get more God? Now it's 9 o'clock at night because I got saved at 7:55. It's 9 o'clock at night. I got to go to bed because I got to get up and go 12 hours a day tomorrow. I got to go door to door selling books. You know, that's what I was doing at the time. So you know, at night you pull your stuff out of your pocket, you know. Reach your pocket, you pull stuff out, put it on your dresser. Know what I'm talking about? Okay. So I reached my pocket, pulled out $1,000 worth of PCP. Drugs. This is all the money I had in the world. I had 10 grams. It was worth $1,000. $100 a gram back then. I don't know what it costs now. Okay. But I would buy an ounce, which was 16 grams, break it down, sell it. I lived from one drug deal to the next. Do you understand? I'm not trying to teach you how to be a drug dealer. I'm trying to help you understand where I was at. Jesus wanted me. For Christ, why would He want me? That's right. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Now, you ready? So I pulled out these drugs. Now, this is all the money I had in the world. And I looked at it and I said, you know, all this time I thought I was getting high, but I just met the one you can't get higher than. And I'm on a high right now. I don't want to take this because it'll bring me down. So I went to the bathroom, and I gave him a swirly. Flushed him. Now it's like, I just want more of Jesus. No, Paul, I didn't. I said, I want more of Jesus. How do I get more of Jesus? What's in the way of me getting more of Jesus? I know. My refrigerator. Not because of this. Okay. Back then, I told you, when I met Sue, I was 125 pounds. Dude, if I turned sideways, stuck my tongue out, I looked like a pant zipper. I was so little. Are you ready? So my refrigerator had nothing to do with this. Too much noise. Okay, now here we go. You ready? Open the refrigerator. Now everybody's on a diet. Mine was beer. I quit drinking when they invented the funnel. I just used to pour it down, just because I didn't know how to deal with life. I was afraid to die. I was afraid to live. I was afraid of people. They hurt me. I graduated high school. I was this big. You know, they beat me up. They made fun of me. I didn't know how to deal with life. I didn't know how to deal with my dad divorcing my mom. I didn't know how to deal with my mom screaming at me. I didn't know how to deal with my brother, you know, lying and doing stuff, breaking the dishes, so I had to do all of the dishes. I didn't know how to deal with life. So I just did drugs and drank all the time. I had to stay high because I did not know how to deal with life. I did not know how to deal with people. Because I tried, I'm this outgoing, friendly kind of guy. And everybody would hurt me and use me and take from me and cut me down and talk about, and oh man, I didn't know how to deal with life. So I had to deaden life with all these drugs and drink. So I just flushed my drugs. It's like, yeah, I just want more of Jesus. So when I pulled this out, looked at my, this is not going to get me to Jesus. I'm going to get rid of this. Boom. So reach my pocket. No. Yeah, did that. Okay. Now it's like, what else? I just want more of Jesus. And the thought came, go look in the refrigerator. Open the refrigerator. It was full of beer. When those signs say, you know, those restaurant signs, food and spirits, they ain't lying. Those spirits will make you think things and act ways that you wouldn't do if you didn't drink them. I didn't make this stuff up. 162 verses in the Bible against drinking. God's like, you know, doesn't have a stuttering problem. He's like trying to get through to us, and we're slow learners. And I open the refrigerator, and here's a refrigerator full of beer. And I pulled them out and said, this is spirits, but it ain't no Holy Spirit. Uncorked every one of them, gave them a swirl. Kaboosh, kaboosh. Got rid of all this beer, right? Okay, I just want Jesus. How do I get more Jesus? Reached my pocket, pulled out my cigarettes. Said, ain't going to hell. No, you smell like I've been there. You know, I'm all burnt on fire. Full of smoke, poured them in. Look, nobody told me to do this. God came inside of me. Sorry, you're sitting closest. And he messed with me. He just messed. I said, I want more of Jesus. And he was like, go look in the refrigerator. Look in your pocket now. You got rid of that. That's one step. Now do the next step. What's the next step? What's in your pocket? I got rid of that. But we have choices to make. He talks to us. We have choices to make. There's four crucifixions. I'm crucified with Christ. When you get saved, you become crucified with Christ. When you get baptized, you are saying, I want to surrender to the Lordship of Christ. I want Him to be my Lord. I want everyone to know I love Him. He died for me. I'm not ashamed of Him. I want to give You my life. I want to enter into Your crucifixion. I want to enter into Your crucifixion. I want it to be like I got crucified with You, Jesus. I want to die to my way. Second crucifixion. I crucify the flesh. When I looked at that drugs, the first thing I did, you never hear me tell this when I tell my testimony. I took the drugs and I'm like, that's $1,000. And without it, I have that much money. It's a lot of money. A lot of people would like this. So what I'll do is, I had two roommates. What I didn't tell you was that my roommates, I had let them do my drugs before. One of them almost OD'd, and the other one wanted to beat me up because he OD'd, okay? Got real sick and almost had to go to the hospital, like probably should have taken him to the hospital. So the other guy wanted to beat me up. You know, like threw me up against the wall and screaming in my face, you know, because he thought I was deaf and I didn't know sign language. But in my flesh, I thought, this is a lot of money. This is worth something. This is valuable. Would you like these drugs? I'll give them to you. I don't want them anymore. No, we don't want them. We almost died on that stuff. Get rid of that stuff. So I looked at it. I kept thinking, man, I can't just get rid of it. But inside of me, he was saying, get rid of it. He said, you want more of me? This is in the way. Uh-oh. Did you hear that? You ought to write that one down. Do you want more of me? Question mark. What is in the way? Okay. I want more of you. This doesn't make sense to me, but I want more of you, Jesus. So, kavoosh. Do you understand? refrigerator. It costs money for beer. They don't give it away. And my refrigerator was full because it was always full of that. I didn't have food. That's why I was 125 pounds, you know. That's half the man I am now. Anyway. Okay, doesn't make sense. Flush it, but I don't care about this. I just found the greatest prize that anybody could find. Why didn't anybody tell me I could know Jesus? So I just get rid of that. And every time I made a decision, it was easier to make the next decision. Cigarettes? I don't want these things anyway. I've quit 100 times, started 101. Okay? I don't want these things anyway. So I flushed them. I was crucified with Christ. Second crucifixion, I crucified the flesh. I said, I'm going to die to this. I don't want it to live in me. Romans chapter 6, verses 2 through 8. Romans chapter 6, verses 2 through 8. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin, we entered into crucifixion with Christ, how should we live any longer in sin? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, planted. It's like we're a new seed, his seed of life in us. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man, our natural man, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Spiritual crash course. You ready? You'd like your life to change dramatically in a short period of time? How about by January 1st? Today is October. What is it? Okay, see, I'm checking you. Okay, it's November what? 9th. Okay. I knew we were in there somewhere. Okay. I'm telling you what, I can't keep one day apart. I woke up this morning thinking it was Monday. I was sleeping tub glaze. Wednesday was Dave's last day. Thursday and Friday, I'm out doing stuff I haven't had to do in years. I am on my knees. I'm up and down. I'm training a guy. I'm talking him all the way through it. It's different. So all I could dream all night was tub glaze. So I wake up and it's Monday morning and, Lord, I don't even want to get out of bed. You got to pick me up. You got to give me the right thinking. Spiritual crash course. You ready? Give you an outline. If it's November 9th, that means there's 30, 40, 43 or so days. You're going to need to read a minimum of six chapters a day. And what you read in the New Testament, there's 260 verses in the New Testament, 260 chapters in the New Testament. If you'll read, if there's 43, that's about 40 to 43 days, then that's six chapters a day. You will read the whole New Testament. Have you ever planted seed in the ground of any kind? Flowers, fruits, trees? You ever planted anything? Remember in Matthew 13 it says, the Word of God is the seed of God. You're going to get a God crop. You're going to get more God than you've ever experienced. I didn't make this stuff up. I mean, every time you plant a seed, it comes up, for crying out loud, doesn't it? If you plant it, it comes up. Okay, there's some people like you and my wife that kill living things like that. I don't know. My wife, if don't ever give my wife a living plant. Silk plants, Roxanne, are fine. Don't give her a living plant. We've had people give us Diefenbachia. You're not supposed to be able to kill a Diefenbachia. She can kill a Diefenbachia. Okay. It's okay. Maybe she doesn't do it anymore, but man, most of our life, it's like, she'll kill it, you know? I would too. I don't know how to do those things, you know? That's not what I'm about, horticulturalist or something. But what we want to do is plant. So we're going to plant. You said you wanted more God. I mean, yes? Okay. Is it working the way you're doing? Because you see, His influence is in your life, and you can get there in the next 40 years if that's where you want to go. If you want to take 40 years and just keep struggling, and why is it working? Like, why doesn't it work for me? And how come other people seem to have more success than me? And where's His presence? And how come I can't hear His voice? And all these things that people say, you want a crash course? You want more of God? I mean, like right now, like big time? Okay, here we go. Read at least 6 chapters a day between now and January 1st. 6 chapters a day. We're going to read in the New Testament. Okay? I don't care where you start, but read the whole New Testament. 260 chapters. Okay? And then this next coming year, we're going to read 3.5 chapters a day, because there's 1,189 in the whole Bible, and divide it, it's about 3.5 chapters a day. Okay? Number 2, bring your Bible to church. You know, when I first got in church, you know, drug dealer, get in church, and the preacher would say, open your Bible. Well, it didn't take me coming there once or twice, and I had a Bible. You know, I'd bring my Bible. Okay, because everybody brought their Bible. See, when I went to church when I was a kid, nobody carried a Bible. The only one that had a Bible was the guy up in the skirt up front. The priest up front was the only one that had a Bible. I'm sorry I said that. I didn't mean to say that. It's the old man. Okay, you ready? Nobody ever read a Bible. I led a guy to the Lord one time. I won't tell you what kind of church he went to, but it was on Ash Wednesday. I found out later I didn't even know, because I don't know what Ash Wednesday is. But anyway, it's some kind of religious holiday around Easter somewhere in there. And he went to church that night. He got saved that day at the machine shop with me. And he went to church that night, and he took his Bible. Now, the guy's 34 years old. He's got a wife and kids. He doesn't live at home. But his mommy said, why did you bring that here? Like he brought a, you know, AK-47 or something. And, you know, like he brought a 457 Magnum in church. You know what I mean? Like, why did you bring that Bible here? He said, because I want to follow what the priest says. I want to make sure what he says is in the Bible. She says, well, of course it is. And he said, well, then what's the problem with me reading? This 34-year-old did that. I think I better get my card back. Bring your Bible to church. So the preacher would say, open your Bible. And I'd go, man, that's what I haven't done since the last time I was here, read my Bible. I'm just asking you to bring your Bible to church. And then don't just have it sit beside you, like your wife, okay? Pick it up and open it. When we say a verse, start looking it up. Now, you'll probably be like I was when I first got in church. The preacher would say, open to Romans chapter 6, whatever. By the time I found it, he was saying, amen, we're done. I'm like, dude, you got to slow down. I'm like, you know. I apologize. Okay. All right. So should we go back over it? I'm sorry. Let's go back over it real slow. You ready? Okay. verses from the beginning. Galatians 2:20. Got that? Okay. The next one was Galatians 5:24. The next one, Galatians 6:14. In those three verses, you will find the four crucifixions. Crucified with Christ. I'm doing this slow. Crucified the flesh. Galatians 6:14 says, the world is crucified unto me, and I am crucified unto the world. The world doesn't understand me. I don't understand the world. You ever been around people and they're talking and you're just like, why would they think that? Where are they coming from? They're coming from the natural man. And you're now a spiritual man. What they say doesn't make sense. Don't you understand where that's going? Don't you understand the lie behind that? No, they don't. Because they're blind. They're unregenerate. They're not saved. They're not alive spiritually. They're only alive to the physical plane. So they only understand the physical plane. Are you with me? Okay. Next to Galatians 2:20, I want you to write Romans chapter 6, verses 2 through 8. Romans chapter 6, 2 through 8. There's a reason you're going to understand, because this is part of the crash course. Next to Galatians 5:24, I want you to write Romans chapter 6, verses 9 through 22. Whenever you go to write, like, for example, when I go to write Romans, I just write R-O. Because there's no other book in the Bible that starts with R-O. Okay? And then you just write what chapter it is. Chapter 6. So you write 6, however you... 6 with a dot, dot. You know, colon or semicolon, whichever that thing's called. As long as it doesn't get cancer. Okay. Now, and then you write the verse next to that. So 6, dot, dot, 22. Or whatever, 9 through 22. Yeah, okay. Okay? Now, next to Galatians 6:14, remember we had two crucifixions. The world is crucified unto me, and I am crucified in the world. You will want to write these two passages. Amos 3:3, and 1 John chapter 2. Verses 15 to 17. Those are good verses to memorize, by the way. How have I? I've never memorized at all. It's okay. Today's the first day of the rest of your life. We can start now. Can't teach old dogs new tricks. Bow wow. I'm not talking to a bow wow, am I? I'm talking to you. Okay? Now, a couple more. Few more verses. When we talk about two different lives, the natural or animal man versus the spiritual man, the flesh versus the spirit. That's Romans chapter 8, 5 through 9. The old man and the new man. There's three passages. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. Colossians 3, 9 through 10. Colossians 3. 9 through 10. Romans 6, 6 through 8. Romans 6, 6 through 8. Did everybody get it? Okay, here's the crash course. Four parts. Number one, read at least 6 chapters a day. Do you want more of Jesus? Do you want more success in God? Would you like more peace, joy, fullness, presence of God? We could just come here, listen to Brother Nate, play the music, and hear Brother Tom play the violin, and Sister the Ida and whoever, blow the shofar, and experience the presence of God. Good. Wouldn't you like to live there instead of visiting? Wouldn't you like to hang out with Jesus? Okay, crash course. Number one, read at least 6 chapters a day. Number two, bring your Bible to church. And open it when we tell you, yeah, now I'm getting picky, and open it when we tell you a verse to read. Number three, bring a notebook. If you don't have one, no excuse. I buy them when they're a nickel or a dime a piece. I got a bunch of them. I'll give you one. Bring a notebook and write stuff down, because number four, and by the way, the notebook, verses given during church. Take them and read them. Okay? And read the passages, the verses before and after. In a minute, I'm going to give you some prayers to pray, you know, to help you. You said you wanted more Jesus. And then, number four is prayers to invite God. Prayers to invite God and to cooperate with Him. Prayers to invite God and to cooperate with Him. You ready? So you're reading the verse, and you say, God, what is this verse saying? What is this verse saying? What could it be saying? What is it saying? What could it be saying? And He's going to start giving you ideas. It's going to start coming to you. You have a little notebook. Write it down. If it's a lie, if it's an error inside, you're going to know that. I love what Larry, this is Mrs. Larry. I love what Larry does. He's like searching for more truth. So you know what he does? He has what's it called? A sliding door. You know what I'm talking about? A glass. Okay? And he takes a magic marker. And he's getting these thoughts, all these things that he thinks, his opinions, what he's been taught, what he feels. Well, I think. Well, I feel. And he writes it all down. Beep, beep, beep. Here's what I think. Here's what I feel. And then when he backs up and he looks at it, now he's just written all over his glass. Not on the wall, kids. Okay? With a dry line marker so it comes off. Well, if you use a permanent marker, just ask me. I'll tell you how to get it off. Lacquer thinner, gasoline, hammer. Okay, now. Sorry, I'm just having fun. Okay. Forgot this is church. No fun. Okay, you ready? So he writes it, and then he backs up and he reads it. And he goes, you know what? That's not true. Inside, God's living inside of him. Remember, the sugar's living inside of him. And the sugar's going, that ain't sweet. That ain't true. So he goes over there and he erases it with his dry erase board or whatever his wife says. And do you understand? You write stuff down. God, what is this verse saying? What could it mean? Number two, Father, I say, you do want to crash course, get closer to Jesus, like quicker? Yes? Here's a prayer. Father, is there anything you want to say to me? That means you got to shut your mouth. And that means you got to turn off the radio and the TV and the video games and all that junk, because you got to be quiet. Do you know what she wants from him? She wants two things to have a good relationship. She wants him to listen to her and to care about what she's saying. And number two, she wants to know, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? What's going on inside of you? That's relationship. That's between them. Well, guess what? That's between us and God. He's a real person. Right. Father, is there anything you want to say to me? Now be quiet. Because He's going to talk to you. Thoughts are going to come to your mind. Write them down in your notebook. My wife has probably 100 or more of these notebooks filled with stuff from God talking to her. God talks all the time. I can prove it. I'm made in His image and He made me. You got it? He's a Jabberjaws. He talks all the time. We have thoughts all the time. They either come from the devil, taking, hurting. They come from God, giving, others-minded. Or they come from the world and all, and wherever that is, you know, or our experience. Where did the thought come from? That's a neat question to ask. Where did this thought come from? Because if it ain't God, I don't want it. Father, is there anything you want to say to me? Is there anything I'm not hearing or seeing? How about this one? God, what question should I ask? Instead of trying to figure them out, ask Him. God, what question should I ask? Have you ever said, Marcia, I'm sorry, but it didn't help? What you should say is, Marcia, what did I do? And then keep your mouth shut. Don't go, but, and justify, argue, defend, and explain, because that won't work. Right, Tom? Say, so what did I do? What didn't I do? Well, same thing with God. Ask Him. What question should I ask? Father, what are you doing in me right now? Don't ask all these questions at one time, by the way. You could just do one in a day. I'm telling you, seriously, don't ask them all at one time. Okay, God, what is this verse saying? What could it be saying? Father, what is there anything you want to say to me? Anything I'm not hearing saying? What question should I ask? And He's like, man, slow down, you know? I'll answer you, but you won't even know which question I'm answering if you don't just do them one at a time and give me time. And then when you have thoughts, write them down. Do you remember in the Bible where it says, if you ask your father for a fish, will He give you a snake, a serpent? Well, if you ask God questions, don't you think He'll answer you? He's not going to be going, I ain't talking to you today. I'm in a mood. God don't have moods, okay? Father, what are you doing in me right now? What are you working in my life right now? Or working on in my life right now? Father, what do you want me to see, do, or understand? Am I going slow enough? Am I going slow enough? Okay, sorry. I'm just messing with you. Spiritual crash course. We're going to read 6 chapters a day minimum. New Testament. And you'll have read the whole New Testament by January 1st. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be a neat goal? Read the whole New Testament between now and January 1st? Dude, I'm telling you, it will just change you big time. Number 2, bring your Bible to church and open it and follow whatever's being taught. Number 3, get a notebook. I suggest getting a spiral 70-page notebook. Okay? The verses that are written, given during church, write them down. If I'm doing it, you know, when I used to preach around the country, I told people, buy the tape, the little cassette tape, and then hold your finger on it as it goes through. It'll go slow enough for you because I can't slow down. I'm about to bust. Okay? That's why I talk so fast. But seriously, if you don't remember verses or whatever, if you don't get it all, just come and ask me. If I'm the one or if Sue's the one, we'll be glad to give it to you. I try to go slow. I think I'm going slow, but I don't realize how fast I'm going. So have a notebook, write down the verses during church, and then read them during the week. God, what is this saying to me? You just heard it in church. It's not going to be a life-changing message if you don't allow it to change your life. And part of it changing your life, do you know there's 168 hours in a week? We come to church for an hour, 2 hours. We still got 166 hours for crying out loud. What are we filling it with? Billboards, signs, TV, electronic gadgets of all kinds. Our phone, internet, friends, other people. We got all this information coming at us. What are we thinking of? Remember we started talking about as Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What we think is what we end up believing, and what we end up believing is what we end up living. When you go to write stuff down, if it's a lie, you could break agreement with a lie. That's a lie. Everybody doesn't hate me. Every man on the planet's not out to take me. I'm not out to take you. Do you understand? Number four, prayers to invite God so that we could cooperate with Him. Does this help make sense of it all? Does this help you? When you get saved, it's like you get in a battle. Before that, man, you could just do whatever. And you could feel good about, well, you know, I gave a dollar to that bum that came up to me, you know, at the corner, so I'm a giver. You know? I'm sorry. We believe lies. And then we live lies. We're deceiving. We're tricked. We're tricking ourselves. Because we only want to focus on the good stuff. Somebody starts talking, telling us something we did wrong. You know, I'm sorry, won't pick on you. Patty's telling Tom what he did wrong. Okay, won't pick on you. Snickle Fritz is telling you what you did wrong. And you're like, no, I didn't mean that. Huh? I didn't think that. And we're all defensive, now we're in a battle. We're supposed to be a team. And if this is how we are with the closest one to us, what do you think? No wonder we all walk around like this. Go to hug somebody, you guys go to hug me and you go like this. You know, lean on me. Quit leaning. Hug me.
See, little teddy bear, he knows.
Two hands. Hug. But to hug, you got to be open. Don't you want people to be open, honest, real, vulnerable, and transparent with you? The principle, Proverbs 18:24, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. To get friends, you have to be a friend. Well, if they'll be a friend to me, then I'll be their friend. You won't have any friends. No wonder you're alone. You're tired of it, or how much longer you want to live there? Is this practical Christianity 101? I mean, like, is this like, can we live this? As if I was discouraged, which I'm not, and your choices aren't going to change me. How many of you want to do a spiritual crash course we just talked about? Good. 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 I'm so looking forward to it. It is going to change you forever. Forever. My wife likes to take and read like the whole thing, like the book of Romans as an overview, which, by the way, there's a parenthetical thought. It means I'm putting it, if you saw it in a book, it would be in parentheses what I'm getting ready to say. The book of Romans is like the Bible in miniature. It takes all the major doctrines or teachings of the Bible and puts it in one book, 16 chapters, one book, and it's all the major doctrines of the Bible. If you own Romans, if you understand Romans, if Romans is alive to you, it's like the rest of the Bible will make sense. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's a key. It's like the Bible in miniature, okay? Now, to go back to what you're saying, in the parentheses, to go back to what you were saying, if you take a notebook, and here's exactly what I tell anybody who first starts coming here and they're starting to read the Bible for the first time, whatever. I always tell them to do this. Get a notebook. While you're reading, if any verse jumps out at you, any verse is like alive, it's like, it catches your attention. I call it, it dances on the page, because it's right there in front of you, like animated, like alive. Write it down. Write the whole verse down. You know? You understand? Write the whole verse out, like Romans 6:6. Write the whole thing out. Okay? If you have questions, if you're reading, I don't know what this word means. I'm not sure what this is saying. Is this saying this? Write your questions down. Call me. Come talk to Pastor Glenn. Okay? We're here to help you, to guide you into truth. Not to tell you what our opinions are. That's why I like to compare Scripture with Scripture. I want to take, because I don't care what my opinion is. I honestly don't care. God asked me one time, Harvey, ask me for anything, and I will give it to you. This is about 9 years ago, 8 years ago. And I thought about it for a little bit and said, God, I don't even want anything. And he was like, ask me for anything in the world and you can have it. And I'm like, I don't even want anything. And God, if I do want something, I don't want to want it, because all I want is you. And I trust you to pick for me what's best for me. Because if I ask for something, it'd probably be the wrong thing. You understand? So write it down and then ask others, okay? People who've walked with God. And they're going to take you to the Scripture. They're not just going to go off and tell you all their opinions and what they think. Well, I think, blah, 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 okay? But they're going to try to help you understand what that Scripture is saying, and by taking you to Scripture to help you understand the Scripture, okay? That is awesome. That is exactly what we're supposed to do. Exactly what we're supposed to do. In Acts 17:11, it says these, talking about people in the city of Berea, these were more noble than those in this city of Thessalonica, in that they searched the Scriptures. It says they received the word with all readiness of mind. In other words, they went to bed on Saturday night and didn't stay up late, and then got to church and they can't, you know, stay awake while we're preaching because they didn't prepare themselves. Do you understand? That's what God, a verse God used in my life, because I used to stay up late watching these John Wayne movies, you know, which I own all 225 of his movies, okay? But what I'm saying is I had to quit staying up late so I could be alert on Sunday morning. It says they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so that were said and taught to them. Because how do you know who to follow? God put somebody, like the majority of you, he's put inside of us. Nate and Leida, they're, pretty soon we're going to be calling them Pastor Nate and Leida. They have people of Ionia County and area that God has put inside of them. We've told them, there's a lot of people going to come that aren't your people. They don't even belong there. They're going to come there because they have agendas. They're just, you know, they bounce around from place to place. They're looking for excitement or feel good or little guide bumps or something. Or, you know, they're just curious. I said, but they don't belong there. They're going to try to get you to do this. Well, we do this over here and we do that over there. It's like, well, they're still doing it. Go back there if that's what you want. But that's not what God's doing here. But there's going to be people that they carry inside of them. Like a dad, like me, I have 6 kids. I carry them inside of me. They're my kids. Whether they're doing right or not, whether they're with me or not, they're my kid. I carry them. I love them. I care about them. Do you understand? Well, as a pastor, as an overseer of people, that's what God does. He plants people inside of you. You can't just go to church anywhere, because they're like a hireling to you. They're not your daddy in the spirit. Do you understand? There's people. That's why God, you feel drawn here. That's why God's drawing you here, because God puts you inside of us. We care about you, okay? But there's some people that come here sometimes, and it's like, I go, God, and they've been coming for a while, and I go, God, why aren't they in me? He said, they don't belong here. They're not going to be here very long. I'm like, okay, but I keep loving them. That doesn't mean I go, cold shoulder, go away, I'm not going to invest my time in you. No, they came here. I'm going to do everything I can to get them to Jesus, everything I can to influence Jesus into their life. I'm going to love them where they're at as much as they'll handle. You understand? When you are reading, write stuff down. That's why it's so imperative to have a Bible. I mean, a notebook. Bible goes without saying. Okay? And then when you're reading, write it down. Questions. Thoughts. Okay? Write out what you think. What, you know. Okay? How does this go along with this verse I read? Because it seems like they're saying different things. You know what I mean? Or whatever. Follow me? Okay. Did that answer? Okay. Nope, no problem. This is an ongoing thing. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Pastor Glenn will get you one. Anybody else? So when we come to church, what are we going to bring? Bible. What else? Notebook. One other thing. It was in my notes, but one other thing. What are we going to do when we come to church? It was something I just talked about in a verse. When we come to church, what are we going to bring? Do you hear what she said? Did you hear what she said? She was paying attention on purpose. Alert mind. She went to bed on time. She was a good girl. Okay? Alert mind. Be prepared. Get here early. Don't come in. You're already missing stuff. Don't miss Sunday school. My wife is like, dude, it is so good. I couldn't believe it. She's over there teaching exactly what God was giving me. We haven't even had time to talk. It's Jesus. The reason we're in a battle is because we haven't crucified our flesh. We're still, I want, I think, I feel. Then it's all about you, isn't it? Just because they called you son doesn't mean the world revolves around you. Okay? I'm sorry. I say it in humor, but let's get real. Do you have any doubt in your mind, anybody in this room, do you have any doubt in your mind that Jesus loves you? Do you? Okay, hold that thought a minute. Does anybody else in this room have any doubt in their mind that Jesus loves them? Huh? You do? You have doubt? Okay, hold that thought, please. Anybody else? I'm surprised. You do? Okay, does anybody in this room not have doubt that Jesus loves him? Just do me a favor, raise your hand. Okay, so everybody but three. Now, watch this. And it's okay, I'm glad you three were honest. I'm going to help you in a minute, but watch this. Here's how we're going to do it. I want you to listen to what everybody else says. Why don't you have doubt that Jesus loves you? Those of you that don't have doubt that Jesus loves you, why don't you have doubt? Because you know he's with you every day. Faith. Okay. Who else would die for you? Who even lives for you? So who would die for you? Who would say, I am willing in the prime of life, 33, to lay my life down for you? And I've never done anything wrong, but you know what? I'm going to take everything you deserve and let it kill me. Brutally. Brutally tortured. Rejected. Took all, spit on. All his friends forsook him. Cursed. How many of you do well with that? Somebody cursing you? Somebody in your face? Everybody going, you think you're God? Come down off the cross and mocking him. You do well with that? I don't do well with that. And in the midst of that, what he's seeing, these people that are folks, though he was God, he was 100% man. He had to become us, just like us, so he could take what we deserve, become our substitute. Are you ready? In the midst of all that, he says, Father, they're spitting on him. The spit's hanging off his face, and he says, Father, forgive him, for he knows not what he's doing. The reason I have no doubt that he loves me is because when he found me, I was like at my worst, and he wanted me. And he has never given up on me. It doesn't matter how much I fail. It doesn't matter how much I mess up. You know, I've hurt many of you in here, I don't do it on purpose, but, you know, all I got to do to sin is wake up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, maybe I even sin when I'm asleep. I don't know. But, like, you know. And many of you have had to forgive me, keep loving me, come confront me. We've had to deal with stuff. But God never gives up. Never gives up. And it's not like, okay, I'm tolerating you. It's like, have you ever, when you finally gonna get your heart right with God, and you go to turn around to Him, you're thinking He's gonna be like way over there, giving you the look. Instead, as soon as you turn around, He's like right here in your face going, I've been waiting right here for you. Yes, ma'am. Okay. And that, yes, ma'am. And I appreciate that honesty. And you know what? That is where we were going. That's where I was trying to help you go, is to realize He doesn't love us because we first loved Him. We love Him because He first loved us. And He doesn't ever quit loving us. Just so you know, many of you have hurt me. Many of you have hurt me in a number of ways. When you leave, when you don't come back, when you come sporadically, I'm not saying this to hurt you. I'm saying this to let you know it's hard on me. I'm like, did I do something wrong again? What did I do? Are they going to leave me too? And it hurts. But guess what? Every time you come back, because I already know how to live in His presence. And what I do is I've already forgiven you. I've already prayed for you. I'm already in love with you. I can't wait for you to come back. Even those that have been out talking about, not in here, but those that have been in here, and they're out there and they're talking about us and slandering us. And guess what? I keep loving them. That's why both the hitmen that I led to the Lord, that's how they got saved. They wanted to kill me. And they're like, man, you just kept loving me. I'm like, because God's inside of me. All I did was Jesus you. I let Jesus do what He wanted, which is to love you through me. Anybody else? Comments, questions on things we said? I want to let me pray for you before you leave, because I don't know if you know about this, but there is what's called parental blessing. Will you bless your kids? Or you curse your kids? Well, it's the same thing. The principle goes over into church. And I want to bless you and release you with protection and provision and guidance and His presence. Do you understand? You know that little passage? People have said it rotely. What's a different way to say that, Tom? Without thinking. You know, the Lord make His face to shine upon you and blah, blah, blah. That's all true, but I mean it with my heart. So, Father, I want You to protect each one of these little dear ones. I want You to draw them close. I want You to heal their hearts. I want You to kiss their boo-boos. I want You to pick them up and carry them and let them know how precious they are to You. I want You to just surround them with those football angels, Lord, that would protect them and keep them safe while they're out on the roads or they're at work or they're among other people, wolves or anything. I want You to protect them. I ask that You would provide for them. I ask that You would bless their going in and they're going out, they're coming in. I want You to bless the work of their hands. I want You to give them wisdom of how to spend money and how not to spend money and have good deals when they buy cars or houses or whatever they do. I want You to protect them and bless them. I want You to bless their health. I want to rebuke every attack of the enemy coming against their body. Anything that's in the world where it's boli, I think it's called, or cancer, or headaches, or anything. Lord, I just want to build up a hedge of protection about them, and I come to you only in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for that privilege, and I want you to protect these dear ones. Lord, I love them, and I care about them, and Lord, I commit them into your hand, and I'm expecting to see them the next time you have me see them prospering and healthy and well and doing, you know, like in on this crash course, getting closer to you, more like you every day. Lord, just enlighten their understanding. Thank you, Jesus. And bless their relationships with each other, with their families, with their friends. Bless their relationship with you. Bless their relationships. I know I've said this many times, but you brought it to my attention, and I can't think of something better to say, so I want to say it about them. I want you to bless each one here as if they were Jesus himself, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. I love you.